Hey, it's Greg. Thanks for checking out Toronto Today. Liberal MP from Beaches, East York, Nate Erskine-Smith on the show. We talk about, well, healthcare in the province. Some people think, well, that's a provincial issue. What's a federal politician have to say about it? Well, a lot. There's a lot of interspersing of funding. Certainly was during COVID. Certainly was with potential for hospital beds being puffed up, and hospitals and long-term care homes, and the concept of the federal government being more involved in those. So Nate weighs in on all of that, plus the ArriveCan app. Is there a distinction between its usage at the land border and its usage at airports? We'll talk to him about that.
Really want to welcome on Nathaniel Erskine-Smith, Liberal MP for Beaches, East York. He joins me right now. I know, you know, people probably steer this away from you. Maybe they do, Nathaniel, in that, well, you know, healthcare, that's a provincial thing. But at the same time, you live here. You're heavily invested. You're raising kids. You're aging parents. Like, you're going through all this stuff everyone else is. I'm sure you have an opinion about where we go in Ontario with healthcare, because we're starting to have bigger conversations about it, aren't we?
And not only a personal opinion, but having seen federal action and federal promises over the years, there's obviously shared jurisdiction here, and the federal government is going to increase funding to provinces, mm-hmm. but set certain priorities. And those priorities are around improving the quality of care, including access to primary care, including improving home care and long-term care conditions by virtue of improving the quality of staff through better pay. So you were just mentioning dental care, and there's a commitment to make sure that there is that basic level of care to make sure that everyone has that basic level of coverage.
What is it about? Is there something inherent in Canadians? And maybe it's shifted. Maybe it's changed. Maybe we've all had a bit of a turn or a move on this since the pandemic started, to look and say, we can't just strut our stuff and brag about our healthcare anymore. We love to brag. It's free healthcare. It's not free if it's paid for by taxes. Of course, we don't want to be the United States. We don't want people falling through the cracks. But I've looked, Nate, at more and more models in Europe, and I go, that's sensible. It's on a per need basis. They always take care of younger people. And when parents have something terrible happen, a fall or a disease to a young kid, they shouldn't have to pay out of pocket and wreck their entire futures. There's just more conversation about finding some kind of middle ground here.
Well, as a starting point, I think the healthcare system, and this is the founding sort of pact, is that one should be able to receive care on the basis of need, not the ability to pay. But there are many different delivery models. And what we really need to do in this province and this country is to take a step back and see, and we've done this many years ago. I'm reading about the history of healthcare, and you've got multiple reports 2 decades ago and even before that, looking at the future of healthcare, looking at improving quality and performance in healthcare. Are we getting best value for what we're doing in a system? Is there the overall comprehensive, effective system that we need to deliver for people when they need it most? And we should be having those conversations. We should have been having those conversations 4 years ago, but we should definitely be having those conversations today.
And I think we wonder how many people, I heard a story from a friend of mine yesterday whose mom had been waiting for a gallbladder surgery for over a year. And I'm thinking, she's in her mid-70s. She's paid into this system. She's supported this system her entire existence as a working person, to not have a choice, and she could choose anything else to spend her money on. She'd have paid anything to get that surgery ahead of time without letting someone else fall through the cracks. Like, we have so many of our seniors that are in chronic pain. They wait for procedures like hip operations, knee operations, then mental health issues come on because they don't feel whole. Like, we've got to start talking about this stuff.
I think the first conversation in many respects has to be a human resource management question, because right now, when you look at, and this is not unique to this time period that we're living in, there have been staff shortages and physician shortages in rural communities for longstanding in this province. I'm reading about the story of Ontario's Health Services Restructuring Commission going back to 96 to 2000. That was a live conversation at that time. There was a shortage of nurses at that time. These challenges pre-exist the time that we're living in, but if we don't have a plan to address them, a long-term plan to address human resources management, including for PSWs in this mm-hmm. province with respect to home care and long-term care, I see no comprehensive even approach. This is a reaction to what is deemed not even to be an unprecedented crisis, and then finally a realization kicking and screaming that this is a crisis that needs to be addressed, and an incredibly reactive approach.
Yeah, I see all that the same way. Nathaniel Erskine-Smith, our guest, Beaches East York MP on Toronto Today. I saw news about the ArriveCan app yesterday. I wanted to ask you about it. The Canadian government, and I'd praise them for this, for as much as there's been, you know, criticism. I think it's been towards Minister Al-Gabra's way sometimes. I think there's praise here for a pivot and an adjustment. They're going to allow COVID-19 vaccinated travelers a one-time exemption from quarantine testing and especially fines if they don't get things right, if you will, on the ArriveCan app. But it's still a mandatory app. I know you've heard from probably constituents. We've heard from these mayors of border towns like Niagara Falls and Sarnia and Windsor who want to scrap it completely. I think it has its place, but I wonder if you'd draw the distinction between what's needed at the land border versus what's needed on airplanes. Would you make a distinction between those two?
A huge distinction because of the nature of the travel and the nature of the work that needs to be done in advance of that travel to get from one country to the next. So people are already going through a pretty intense process with their passports and with registering with the airline and with getting to the airport to get to Canada. And the ArriveCan app unquestionably saves time. Now, it can be a frustrating experience for some, I get it, and there needs to be an alternative for people who are less technologically savvy or don't have the devices that so many of us are fortunate to have. And so, of course, there need to be it needs to be optional in some ways, and we need to make sure that people can opt out of it and have a paper-based system. But the land border, it is clearly slowing things down, and the government needs to take a hard look and say, how do we make this to be the efficient system that we want it to be? I think there's a way of doing that for air travel. At the moment, I don't think CBSA and the government have figured out a way to do that at the land border, and I've certainly heard from my border colleagues to say this mandatory aspect of it should be suspended.
So you wouldn't say it's not outlived its usefulness just yet. We just need to make some tweaks to it, some pivots to it. Because I agree, it's easy for me. If I'm going over on my own on the land border, it's an easy thing to describe your vaccination status. If you want to see proof of it, fine. But I think we hear these horror stories, right? Seniors that can't handle the app quickly, that slows everybody up in a line, or a family of six traveling, or heaven forbid, a bigger family than that. Like, those are where the problems are at some of these crossings.
Well, and I think we also probably want to take a broader look at the rules related to unvaccinated travel, because at the moment there's a stiff quarantine, 14 days, and I don't think it makes sense in light of the current reality. And it's still a major impediment to people who want to travel who are unvaccinated. And so, previously, of course, it was an important incentive. It was important to make sure that we were addressing transmission, and now that we have the variants that we do, I just don't think limiting and restricting travel in that way makes a ton of sense. And so I think there's probably a broader conversation to have here about how do we adjust travel rules in light of the current science.
Well, I know we're talking in a couple of weeks near the end of the month as we get closer to school, so I sure want to talk about that and what you just brought up as well. Thanks so much for the time today. Appreciate you making time for our audience as always.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
Nathaniel Erskine-Smith, our guest on Toronto Today.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.